Well, good morning. Greetings in Jesus Christ's name this morning, this beautiful new day. Sounds like you're ready to go.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. Well, I get to wake you up this morning if you're not awake yet, so fasten your seatbelt. Let's bow our heads for prayer. Oh God, this morning we come in Jesus Christ's name. We love you, Lord. Thank you. Thank you, Father. Thank you for loving us. That's why we're here. We love you because you first loved us. You were rich in mercy. In your great love wherewith you loved us. Thank you, Father. Thank you for this beautiful new day and all the blessings and all the opportunities that are in it. Thank you, Father. This morning I get to preach, Lord. What a privilege I have, God. Oh, grant grace unto thy servant today to speak forth the mind and will, your mind and your will, oh God, in the power of your Spirit, Father, no other way. Let thy still small voice speak deep into every one of our hearts, God. We trust this session into your care and every heart in your care. We pray in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. All right, this morning, following the theme that I introduced yesterday, this morning's subject is Father is a teacher. Father is a teacher. And I know there are some young men in this room today. But in one sense, I'm after you. Even though I'm going to speak in the context of all the fathers that are in this room, in a very real sense, I'm after your hearts, you young men. Because if you will get these things deep down in your soul before you ever find a mate and get married, everything will be fine. So, you listen to. I want to address this morning one of the most important aspects of Christian leadership in the home. That is the preaching and the teaching of God's Word. I don't know if you've ever considered it before, but a teacher is a leader. You cannot be a teacher without being a leader. When we teach our family, when we sit them down, when we speak into their lives, when we give direction to them sitting around the table at a mealtime, we are teaching them, and that teaching is leadership. We are giving them direction. We are sharing with them our desires, which God has put it in their hearts to please us as fathers. Therefore, it's important that we show them how they can please us. That's leadership. We are inspiring them in their walk, in the direction of their life. We are warning them of dangers down the road, the path of life that they'll be on. We are encouraging them in right living. We are doing all of these things as we teach and preach the Word of God in our homes. That makes us a leader. A very important aspect of leadership. Well, then obviously, if that aspect of leadership is missing in our home, we're missing. And our families are missing. One of the greatest ways in which God leads them through the preaching and teaching of the Word of God through the Father in the home. This is Christian leadership. Except for the power of the Holy Ghost, the Word of God is your most powerful influence in your home. If we do not use it, how could we ever expect that things would turn out right for the next generation? It is one of the most powerful tools of influence that we have, given to us by God. It is the two-edged sword. It is a fire that burns up the chaff and purifies the heart and the life. The Word of God is the hammer that breaketh the rock in pieces. And the Word of God is the shining light upon their path. We must come to grips with what we do with the Word of God. As men, this is foremost. According to Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 4b, where God admonishes us, fathers, bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. This is a very most difficult task if we do not become effective teachers and preachers of the Word of God. Yet God encourages us. God commands us. Bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. How can we do it without this? We can't. So this morning, I'm here to declare to you the truth of the Word of God. You are a teacher. You are a teacher. I don't know how that sets with you. You may say, Brother Denny, I'm not a teacher. You're a teacher, but I'm not a teacher. But I'm here to tell you this morning, you are a teacher. Thus saith the Lord, you are a teacher. By the authority of God's Word, in the same way that God called to Abraham and called Abraham the father of many nations long before he ever had his son Isaac, in the same way that God said to Abraham, you are the father of many nations, I'm here to tell you this morning, you are a teacher. I proclaim the mind and will of God to you this morning. You are a teacher. And all who will believe these words and begin to obey in faith will become an effective teacher. I don't care who you are. It doesn't matter to me how intelligent you are or not intelligent. It doesn't matter how much education or not education you have. It doesn't matter. None of those things are important. God will make you a teacher. And I find as I travel around the United States and catch the tears of struggling fathers that so many fathers stumble at this point right here. Because they think in their own minds, I can't do it. I can't do it very well. Others can do it better than I can. I can't measure up to what the preacher does. There are many, many excuses for their unbelieving hearts. But the fact of the matter is, you are a teacher. I'm here to proclaim that to you this morning. I declare this to you in the name of the God who calls the things that be not as though they already were. Do you believe that verse? God said to Abraham, you are the father of many nations. And Abraham believed God. He believed that God is a God who calls the things that be not as though they already are, and Abraham believed it. And he changed his name. And from that day forward, that's what everybody called him. Hey, Father of many nations, good morning to you. Amen? He's the God who calls the things that be not as though they already are. And this morning, though it be not so in your life, you are a teacher. You are. Believe it! It is so. Let's turn and look in Deuteronomy chapter 6 a bit here as we look at the subject of Father being a teacher. We surely must look at Deuteronomy chapter 6. Here we find one of the clearest revelations of God's heart concerning this subject. And before we read these verses, let me ask you this question. Would God ask you to do something that you can't do? Would a loving father put such a load upon you and tell you to do something that he knew you couldn't do? We know the answer to that question. God wouldn't do that to you. He's your Father. He's your loving Father. He's more tenderly sensitive about you and your heart and where you're at than even an earthly father would ever be. Would God give you a task and not give you the ability to do it? We know the answer to these questions. Yet somehow, we have lost our way in this whole area of teaching. And many men do not believe they can do it. And because they don't believe they can do it, they don't start. Ah, God wants to change that. God wants to change you. If you had any idea what God wants to do with your life in this area, you would not sit there in unbelief another day. Do you realize what God could do with you if you would get a hold of this? Beautiful thing. Beautiful thing. In Deuteronomy 6, we're going to start reading in verse 4. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul and with all thy might. That's a good place to start. And these words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart. Thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children, and shalt talk of them in thine house. Talk of them when thou sittest in thine house, and when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up. Most men do not teach their families because they sit in unbelief and don't move. God wants you to trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. See, dear brothers, this whole matter of obedience is a matter of faith. It's a matter of faith. Did you know that? It's a matter of faith. It's not just a matter of duty. It's a matter of faith. And there's a difference between the two of those. God told me to teach my family. He's going to give me the grace to do it. And I'm going to do it. That's a lot different than God told me to do it and I have to do it. Total different view. It's a matter of faith. We must trust and obey, for there's no other way. No other way. I'd like to just look a little bit at this beautiful portrait of a teacher that we have here in Deuteronomy chapter 6. And it may be that we may come to grips with maybe some of the reasons why we are not a teacher up until this point. You know, maybe it's not just unbelief. Maybe there are some issues in your heart, in your life. Maybe there's a reason why that grace does not flow in and out of you in the midst of your family. That's a very good possibility. You know, if the channel is plugged, the water will not flow. It just will not. No matter how much provision has been made, if the channel is plugged, the water cannot flow. So God begins here to encourage us men as teachers. He gives us the foundation which undergirds all of the teaching that we do. And it undergirds all of the ability that we can get to be the teachers that we're supposed to be. And that undergirding is the foundation of all of our Christian life. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart. These words came to me this morning as I was preparing this message. These words came to me out of Matthew chapter 6. And let's just look at them in light of what our subject is this morning. Matthew chapter 6 and verse 22. God said this through the Lord Jesus, "The light of the body is the eye of your heart." I'm paraphrasing a little there. The light of the body is the eye. If therefore thine eye be single, thy whole body shall be full of light. Do you think that'll help you be a teacher? Thy whole body shall be full of light. What kind of light is God talking about there? This kind? No way. Revelation. The revelation of the light of the God of heaven. That's what it is. If the eyes of thine heart be single upon God, if the love of your heart is totally, singly set upon God, your whole body shall be full of the light of God. I think that'll help you be a teacher. But if thine eye be evil, you know, that little twist in words is very interesting to me. You know, God didn't say double or triple. He just brought it right down to the bottom line. If thine eye is not single, then thine eye is evil. Isn't that right? If thine eye be evil, thy whole body shall be full of darkness. If therefore the light that is in thee be darkness, how great is that darkness? No man can serve two masters. For either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. Ye cannot serve God and mammon. And may I just make a few applications here to that? We can put a lot of different words in there. Jesus spoke these words in the context of earthly treasures, money, finances. But we could put a lot of different things in there. We could say, you cannot serve God and things. You cannot serve God and your hobbies. You cannot serve God and your career. You cannot serve God and your selfish interests. You cannot serve God and serve a bunch of other things. The bottom line is that the Lord is one God. And beside Him there is no other God. And we, as human beings, must come to grips with the fact that there is no other God. And God being supreme, and God being the only God, He demands all of our heart's attention and devotion. back to Deuteronomy chapter 6. And the next verse there, verse 6. These are powerful words for a teacher. These words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart. Get that now. That's a key. That's a secret. That's a very important aspect of being an effective teacher. These words shall be in thine heart. Not just in your mind. In your heart. There's a big difference, isn't there? These words shall be in thine heart. We must make much of the Word of God in our own hearts and our lives. The Word of God will never be in our hearts if we just get a little snitch and a little snatch here and there as we fly through life. Amen? You know, busy American society. Go, 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 push, 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 rush, rush, rush. You know, drop by McDonald's and grab a bite to eat and keep on going. And I'm afraid we've been approaching the Word of God the same way. These words shall never be in thine heart if you're just grabbing a little snitch and a little snatch here and there. It'll never happen. You say, Brother Denny, but I'm too busy. Then you're too busy. You're too busy. Somehow, we think that we're locked into this American society, you know. And here we go. We are not locked into this American society. We are to be another culture in the midst of this mixed up American culture. And our culture comes from this book, amen? We are not locked into this society. These words shall be in thine heart. John said to the churches that he wrote to there in 1 John chapter 2, I write unto you little children, because the Word of God abideth in you. Do you know what John was saying there? John was saying, these words are in your heart. That's what John was saying. They are part of your very life. They are the very heartbeat of your life. You eat and drink them. They are your bread. They are your life. They are your sustenance. These words shall be in thine heart. It takes time for that to happen, brethren. It takes time. Let's read a verse over in the book of Ezra. One of my favorite verses in the Bible. Ezra chapter 7 and verse 10. Here's the secret of being a teacher, dear brothers. Ezra chapter 7 and verse 10. By the way, Ezra was a teacher. He was a powerfully anointed teacher. Let's look in behind the scenes of this man's life in this verse. For Ezra had prepared his heart to seek the law of the Lord. And to do it, and to teach in Israel statutes and judgments. There it is. Threefold. Ezra's heart was, I want to learn God's Word. Number two, I'm going to do it. And then number three, which flows out of one and two, I'm going to teach it. I'm going to teach it. These are aspects of teaching. We must make much of the Word of God. We must taste its fruits through obedience in our own lives. And then we must rise up and teach with joy, confidence, and enthusiasm. Because we know, experientially, we know we have tasted it. Works. Understand? It works. Let me give you an illustration. There's a big difference. There's a vast difference between somebody getting up and teaching what the Bible says about fasting when they've never fasted in their life, and somebody else who gets up and teaches what the Bible says about fasting after they have tasted and tasted and tasted how sweet and how beautiful and all the effects and the influences that come from it. The one, he can give you the facts. He'll tell you all about it. He can tell you what color it is. He'll tell you what shape it is. But this man over here, he will tell you what it tastes like. There's a big difference between the two of those. And this is the essence of teaching. Not gathering facts up here and passing them on to somebody else, but taking and infusing into your own very heart and life and living out in reality and finding out that, yea, the Lord is good. And then out of that beautiful tasting of your own life and experience, you tell somebody else. You know what the difference is? There's a confidence there. There's an enthusiasm there. It's electrifying. It's contagious, isn't it? It's contagious. And here's where I'm going to get you all this morning, so just get ready. When we are convinced, any of us here, when we are convinced and we are excited, we can teach. I don't care who we are. We can communicate. Imagine with me if you discovered a new product which, when added to your fuel, it increases your fuel mileage by 25%. And you discovered it. And all your friends and your neighbor, he doesn't know about it, but you have discovered it. Now, what are you going to do? Are you going to sit in your house and say, I don't know if I'm going to be able to share it right? What if I don't say it right? And maybe I'll stutter when I say it, so I don't think I'm going to go over and tell my next door neighbor what I found out. And are you going to do that? No way! You won't care if you stutter and stammer, and neither will your neighbor. Amen? He won't care if you stutter or stammer. He wants to find out what the name of the product is, even if you say it this way. He doesn't care. And really, you don't care either. Why? You found a product that works, and you'd like to share it with everybody else. Hey, guess what? Really? What's this name? Where did you get it? Well, I got it over here. How do you get there? Well, you go this way, you turn here, you go down here. My, what gifts of communication you've gotten. Why? Because you are convinced with what has happened to you, and you will find a way to communicate it even if you have to stumble your way through it. And every one of you know that what I'm saying is true. You've done it in your own life. But somehow, I don't know, is it the enemy that puts a cloud over us, a cloud of unbelief that makes us just sit there and we won't move forward and we don't rise up and we don't trust God and move out and do what we need to do? And because we don't, we just sit. And I mean, the months go by fast, brethren. And they turn into years. And those years, they're gone. You turn around and you say, where did they go? Too late. Too late. Wake up. You will overcome your insecurities, and out of sheer desire to pass on the blessing to others, you will communicate. And I believe this is one of the elements that are missing in our lives as men. You know, these things shall be in thy heart. You shall do them. And as you do them, you will taste them. I'm telling you, God's principles work. They're powerful. You will taste them. And as you taste them, then you will share them with your family with enthusiasm. And you know what? Your family, they don't care if you don't exactly say it right or you don't get it in all the right order. You know, I've been watching this thing for a lot of years. Been in the ministry for 25 years. I've heard some of the most profound teachings coming out of the mouths of men who didn't have very many gifts. But their heart was totally inflamed with what they were trying to share. Their heart was broken. They were burdened to share what God had showed them. They shared out of the experience of their own life, and everybody grasped it. It's not eloquence, dear brothers. It's not eloquence. But I'm even telling you, if you will step into the water and move forward and be consistent, even God will develop some eloquence in your way of speaking and sharing the Word of God. But it'll never happen if you just sit. It'll never happen. All right, let's move on. Thou shalt teach them diligently. And these flow. They all flow from each other. That love for the Lord with all your heart. That Word being in your heart and in the reality of your life. And then out of that comes a desire to communicate. And that desire causes you to find a way to impart what you have learned to somebody else. You will find a way. And that's what this word teach means. As we look here in verse 7, that word teach means to sharpen it. It means the picture is taking a stick and sharpening it so that you can easily put it into somebody else. See, there's the desire. Oh, I found this beautiful nugget in the Word of God. And I have done it. And I have tasted. And it's precious to me. Oh, now how can I put it into my children? How can I so prune and sharpen and form this beautiful truth and find a simple illustration to put it into somebody else's life? God, give me something that I can, some way that I can give this to my children. What do you think God will do if you pray like that? He will give you ways and means to communicate. And diligently. Diligently. And that word diligently, it is twofold. Twofold. One, the way you teach. Two, the priority that you place upon it. Diligently. Two ways. The way you teach and the priority by which you put on teaching. Thou shalt teach them diligently. You understand? If you come to your time of instruction with your family, and you begin to teach them with a diligence, that is sensed. You understand? That diligence is sensed, and it makes children sit up and pay attention. Doesn't it? Thou shalt teach them diligently. It's not a haphazard activity. It's a planned for, a prepared for activity. And that leads us to the next point that I would like to look at. I see two ways of teaching clearly manifested here in verse 7. One is those special times and seasons where we sit our family down after having planned and prepared, and we teach them the Word of God. And the other is that beautiful God-ordained way of discipleship where you teach as you go through life every day. Both of these are aspects of teaching. The Lord Jesus did both of them. There were times when He sat His disciples down and He found Himself a stone to sit on, and He laid it out to them. line upon line, precept upon precept, He laid it out to them. But there were other times when He taught them as they walked by the way, and as they sat down in the evening at a meal, or as they went through a grape vineyard, He taught them. And I believe God wants us to do both. Both. Amen? There should be times, there should be seasons where we sit our family down and we instruct them out of the Word of God. You know? Where a father gets alone with God and says, God, give me my daily bread so I can feed my family. Amen? I mean, do you think that prayer and the Lord's Prayer is just for food to eat? There's more to daily bread than food. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Lord, give me my daily sustenance and help me to impart it to my family. This is our responsibility as the head of our homes, as the man of God in our house. It's our responsibility. And God, He will help you. He will help you to do that. See, I don't think I can do that. That's not true. Those thoughts are thoughts of unbelief. You need to put them away. You need to renounce them if you allow them to settle into your mind. Just say, I'm not going there. Those thoughts are not from God. God will make you a teacher. I promise you He will. On the authority of His Word, He will make you a teacher. But you must step into the water. I remember the first time I was called upon to speak. I mean, I made an utter mess out of it. Utter mess. I was so scared, I could hardly get the words out. I stuttered and stammered for 5 minutes, and my wife got up and finished for 25 minutes. I sat down in utter humiliation, but I was glad that somebody could get up there and say something. She saved the day. It was at a youth meeting, and I was supposed to give my testimony. And I stood up there and looked at all those youth looking at me, and it was just like, what do I do? See? God will make you a teacher. But you have to be willing to get in and trust Him. You know, I'm not talking about doing something in the arm of the flesh. I'm talking about getting on your face before God and saying, God, by grace through faith, I'm going to teach my family today. Now You give me what I need. Give me what I need today. Help me to know how to say it. Bring things into my mind as I sit before my family. Father, You told me to teach. Now give me the grace to teach them. And then get up off your knees and go in there and sit down with your family and teach them. He will do it for you. He will do it. Because these words are in thine heart, because you are anointed by the Spirit of God, because you love God with all your heart, you will do both of these methods of teaching. When God's Word is in thine heart, it just flows, you know. You go down the road, the boys are in the truck, you know, you're heading here or there for something, you see something on the road, this happens, that happens. You know what, boys? That reminds me of that verse that I read the other day over in the Scriptures, and brrr, out it comes. That's how it's supposed to be. You come up to a roadblock and you say, you know, boys, God puts roadblocks too. I was reading about one the other day in the Scripture, you know, where that disobedient prophet, God put a donkey in his way as a roadblock. You know? As you go through life, as you sit at the table, as you sit in your house, as circumstances come by, as things happen, you know, as a war breaks out, it's a teachable moment. It's time to talk about issues. It's time to bring these things up before the children and guide their little hearts and minds in light of the Word of God and the current events that are happening in their real world. And when these words are in your heart, it just flows out. It just flows out. This is the essence of true discipleship. Sitting them down, instructing them with the Word of God, and apprenticing them through life, or discipling them in a real world. This is the essence of discipleship. And every one of us has been given the responsibility to make disciples out of our children. Disciples of the Lord Jesus Christ. To take them from where they are to where God wants them to be. To take them as little children and bring them to that place where they give their hearts and lives to the Lord Jesus. And then from there to teach and train them until they are a disciple of Jesus Christ. One who follows Jesus with all of their hearts. Not just His teachings, but Him. Making disciples of Jesus Christ out of our children. Every one of us has been given that responsibility. And God would not give you something to do that He was not ready, willing, and able to give you what you need in order to do it. We must believe that. And let me say this to you fathers. If you're sitting here today, and you know in your own heart, I can teach. I have those abilities. And you are not prioritizing your life enough to sit your family down and instruct them. Shame on you. That's not right. You can't be that busy. You dare not be that busy that you cannot. And I'm telling you, the enemy will fight with everything he can to bump that precious time when you sit down with your family every day and open up the Word of God. I don't know how it is with all of you, but as I travel around the country, I take little surveys to find out how it is. And you know what? Most men do not consistently teach their family the Word of God. The problem is a priority for many. You may be sitting here and you have the abilities, but you have filled your life with other things. It's got to change. It has got to change. You have to change your priorities. This is very important. How can we be a leader if we are not a teacher in our home? We are a leader second best, for sure. If we do not teach, instructing them, directing them, showing them the way to go, if we do not, we are not a leader. We are second best. It's a matter of priority. And when we look at priorities, that has nothing to do with giftings. That has nothing to do with anointing. It has nothing to do with God's abilities. It has to do with us setting our priorities. And all of us set our priorities. We all have priorities. Don't we? I mean, how many of you ate breakfast this morning? Let me see your hand. Come on, get them up. I want to see. Priorities. How many of you slept last night? Let me see your hand. I can see you are men of priorities. It's as simple as that. That may sound a bit simplistic to you, but it is as simple as that. We do what is important to us. And in this area, we need to change our priorities. Just turn your back on the whole thing and say, forget it. I'm not going to make as much money I'm going to raise my children. See, it's easy to make money in America. That's no big deal. If you're sitting here today and you think, well, my business, and that's pride. It's easy to make money in America. It's the easiest place in the whole world. It's harder to not make money in America. It's harder to not get all caught up in making money. That's where it takes a spiritual man to look at that whole thing and say, get back. Just a pile of dust someday anyway. I mean, what difference does it make? Dust is dust, whether it's gold dust or whether it's just great old regular soil. It's still dust. Amen? But your children, you can take them with you. You can take them with you someday. We need to change our priorities. That was from the Lord. That's not in my notes. Now you say, Brother Denny, I can't do this. You're overwhelming me. I'm feeling discouraged. And sometimes, some men will come to me and say, I'm discouraged, Brother Denny. I know what you're saying is true, but I feel discouraged. I don't want to discourage you this morning. That is not at all in my heart. I want to encourage you. But maybe for some of you, I want to wake you. I want to wake you. I want to wake you out of your evil heart of unbelief. Hebrews chapter 3. It is an evil heart of unbelief if we are just saying, I can't do it. It is an evil heart of unbelief. God will help you. He will help you. We are supposed to live by faith. Amen. Living by faith is living by faith and not by sight. Living by faith is the essence of true Christian living. Living by faith. If it wasn't faith to become a teacher, God would give you something else that will put you on the edge and in utter dependence upon Him. Why? Because the essence of true Christian faith is living in utter dependency upon God. We all agree. We all know that. That's clear theology. So, if it's not faith to believe God to make me a teacher in my home, it will be faith for something else. God will always keep us on the edge because it's the essence of the Christian. He doesn't want us to be confident in ourselves. He doesn't want us to just go through life in the strength of our flesh. He wants us to be looking away from ourselves in faith and trust, believing that God will take care of me and carry me through this, whatever it is that I'm facing. Without this kind of faith, brethren, it is impossible to please God. Do you know that? It's impossible. This is what pleases God. So God puts you on the edge. And you look away from yourself. And you look to God. And you walk down the road that He has put you on. And God looks down and says, I am pleased with my servant. He is trusting me. Even though he can't see his way through what I'm putting him through. He is looking to me. And he leads us right through. Whatever it is. Could be a death. Could be a trial. Could be some sickness. Whatever it is. God will keep us on the edge. And by the way, that's an exciting place to live. It's an exciting place to live. Us Americans, we don't like to live there, though, but it's an exciting place to live. Consider the way that God empowered the craftsmen to build the tabernacle in the Old Testament. Consider with me. Let's just turn to Exodus and read a little bit. Exodus 31 is a beautiful portion of Scripture here that I've taken encouragement from many times. Exodus 31, verse 1. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, See, I have called by name Bezaleel, the son of Uri, the son of Ur, of the tribe of Judah. Now let me just paraphrase that a little bit here. See, I have called, God says, your name to be a teacher. I have called Bezaleel, the son of Uri, the son of Ur, of the tribe of Judah. And not only have I called him, I have filled him with the Spirit of God in wisdom and in understanding and in knowledge and in all manner of workmanship to devise cunning works, to work in gold and in silver and in brass and in cutting of stones, to set them and in carving of timber, to work in all manner of workmanship. And behold, I have given with him Aholiab, the son of Ahishamach, of the tribe of Dan, and in the hearts of all that are wise-hearted, I have put wisdom that they may make all that I have commanded thee. What a beautiful portion of Scripture. Do you know, my brethren, this morning, that the power and the ability is in the call? Do you know that? You do know that. The power and the ability is in the call. Consider with me. If God calls you into the ministry, is not the power and the ability there? Do you not step forward in faith and accept the call and say, God, I don't know how, but I'm trusting you? And you go forward, don't you? It is the same in the areas of responsibility in your home. The power and the ability is in the call. And God has called you to be a teacher. He will fill you with the Spirit of God in wisdom and in understanding and in knowledge and in all manner of workmanship. I mean, it's pretty well covered in that verse, isn't it? Now, come let us reason together. If God would do this for the construction of a physical tabernacle, how much more will He empower us as fathers with all the wisdom and all the ability and all the knowledge and all the understanding that we need to form our children's lives so that they can be temples of the living God someday? Don't you think it's much more? How much more will God do this? Surely it is. He will. We must believe it. It's a matter of believing. Unless your heart isn't right. And if your heart's not right, then it's a matter of getting the channels open so that faith can come into your heart. Because faith and a guilty conscience, they don't dwell together. They don't dwell together. God will give you what you need. He will give you what you need. But we must believe Him. What would happen if every day you rose early in the morning and you strengthened your heart before the Lord? And in that season of strengthening your heart, you drop down on your knees and you broke your heart before God in prayer for your family, for your responsibilities, for the abilities to do your responsibilities, and you put your time in the early morning hours to prepare to give your family something, and you rose up from your closet trusting God, and you obey, what do you think would happen? I guarantee you what would happen. If you would remain in that posture, as the days would go by, day after day, you would become an effective teacher. I don't care who you are. Now, that's not going to happen overnight. You're going to stumble around. Some days it won't go just exactly right. There'll be days when it's all over and you'll say, "Phew, I didn't go too well." But that's all right. It's all right. I'm going to learn, right? I'm going to learn. Look, if you take on a new job, you don't learn overnight. But you go back the next day, don't you? You go back the next day. And you learn to make those cuts right so that, you know, the boards come together right. You go back the next day and you keep on going and you look at it and you say, "Okay, this didn't go too well. Why? Let's look at it." You learn. You get up. You keep on going. That's what I'm talking about. You and the Lord. And you will become a teacher. And the leadership will begin to happen at your home. My challenge to you this morning is simply this. Step into the water. You need to step into the water. When God told the children of Israel, "I'm going to part the Jordan River," He told those priests, "Walk into the water and I will part the water." I think many of these men in America today are standing right there and say, "God, part the water and I will walk over." And God is saying, "You step into the water and I will part it. I wrote the rule book. Do it my way," says God. And so God's waiting on you and you're waiting on God. It's time you step out in faith and believe God. And know He will meet you in His mysterious ways and enable you to be what you're supposed to be as a godly father. Let's bow our heads for prayer. Our Father in heaven, thank you, Lord. Thank you for the challenge this morning. Thank you, Father, for these words of encouragement that you've given to us. Father, I give you these men, their hearts, their lives. I pray, infuse their hearts with faith and confidence, Lord. Not in themselves, but in you. Not in their own abilities, but in your abilities, God. Oh, Father, I pray, work in our hearts throughout this day. Do with us what you will. Work in us that which you brought us here for, every one of us, Lord, me included, Father. Do in my heart that which you have brought me here to do, whatever that is. We trust our hearts into your care. We trust the rest of this day into your care. We pray in Jesus Christ's name. Amen.
Thank you for listening. We hope this message has blessed you. If you would like additional messages or a catalog, please visit our website at ccfsermons.org. Call us at 855-55-CHARITY or write to us at Charity Christian Fellowship, 59 South Groffdale Road, Leola, PA, 17540. This ministry is supported by your donations. May Jesus Christ be Lord of all.